All right.
So this morning, I want to I'm going to shift just a little bit about our reading this morning. It's going to be it from Ephesians chapter 2, page 1191. And I'm going to shorten this one a bit and shift to Mark 15 at the after reading this. Okay, so this morning we're going to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, and then the second part of 15. Okay? So let's read, for those of you who'd like to read, let's go ahead and pull it out your red hymnal, red pew Bible, and we'll read this together. For those who like to listen, let's listen to what the Spirit is saying to us and to His church. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man, one new humanity out of the two, that is, out of Jews and Gentiles, and thus making peace. Second passage, I'm going to switch Bibles here, and we're going to go to Mark chapter 15, and we're in a season of Lent, and so this is, this passage here fast forwards us a little bit in the season of Lent to what often is called Maundy Thursday, or Good Friday, leading into Good Friday, and so we're going to kind of visit ahead, and then we're going to come back a little bit next Sunday and keep on marching forward in Lent. So let's listen to these words. The soldiers, well, let me start up. I'm going to back up verse 15. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to the crowd. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. So short of the cross and the stinging betrayal of a friend, thinking now of Judas, but also of Peter, the encounter of our Savior that night in the barracks with the soldiers represents the most humiliating part of all that he passed through for you and for me. And we may suffer a great deal and bear it nobly if we have any left in us of dignity. But when our personhood is suffering and assaulted, when our humanity is shoved aside, and we become the target of sneers of those around us, and we're characterized as less than or other than, this represents the deepest pit of humiliation. And in our city, though we have a lot to be thankful for, there's a lot of good going on in town. We have friends to be thankful for. We have community. We have a park. We have people that care for one another. and serve each other and meet together to acknowledge and affirm the goodness of community. And yet, despite that, and underneath it, lies the constant expressions of mocking, of humiliation, of hurt and pain, of assault, sometimes because of domestic violence, sometimes because of sexual assault, and sometimes because there are those who disrespect us, who have no value for decency and of our humanity. And this is with great pain that many of us have borne in our lives, either ourselves or someone we know. And yet, the deepest of suffering and humiliation was our Savior's. And we know because of these soldiers. These soldiers and the choices they made that night remind us the denial of Peter around the fire as our Savior was taken off in chains and the cock crowed three times reminds us Judas' betrayal reminds us the crowd yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him," reminds us. And all the disciples walking away reminds us that Jesus suffered. And he suffered because we're more sinful than we ever dared believe. And yet, what happened that night reminds us also, as we hear again the story of what happened to our dear Savior, it reminds us that we're more loved, and Jesus suffered because we're more loved than we ever dared hope. And it happened that one Thursday night. When Jesus was visited with this great humiliation and pain for us, for you, and for me. And they shackled his hands and they chained his legs. And they let him off like a common criminal. They spat in your Lord's face that night. And they mocked him. And after his trial, he was taken off. This common criminal. By the soldiers to the barracks. And this place of respite for the barracks, for the guards, is a place where their own sense of humor
their home locker room humor. Their own sense of frustration. And their own brokenness. And their own sense of despair. Their own sense of being treated less than human played out, visited upon our Lord. And they tied his hands to a pillar. And they took a leather whip with pieces of metal on the whip and slices of bone. And they bared it back. Yes, for you and for me. And they lashed him with the studs of the whip, the sound of the crack, and the beating of the metal at the bones, drawing a canal of blood. And lesser souls didn't survive these lashes. But our risen Savior bore it all for you and for me. And such was his love. You see, he suffered because he loves us. He suffered such great humiliation because of his love for you and for me and for all the world. They had spun him around, blindfolded him, and said, "Prophesy, prophesy, who struck you?" And the slaps on his face rang out from the marbles of the floor. They had taken off his clothes and put on the purple robe. And they kneel down before him in mock worship. And when they're done with their sport, they took off the purple robe and the crown of thorns. And they put his own clothes back on. Thanks be to God that they put his own clothes on. Because in his own clothes, he paid it all. In his own clothes, he loved you. In his own clothes, he suffered. Praise be to God that in his own clothes, he died. And do you, in the quiet meditations of your heart, wonder how it is that he would love you so profoundly as to make the choice to die for you and to suffer such great humiliation, more than any soul had known? And does it cause you to wonder and cry out, did I do my best? If I failed, did I try? And choir members, did we do our best? Deacons, did we do our best? Every one of us, did we do our best? If we failed, did we try? And we could give thanks to our risen Lord that whatever pain we may have suffered in our own lives, not only has he suffered more, but he suffered with us. And he knows your pain, and he knows mine. The great humiliations and the mockery on our own personhood, our own humanity, our own dignity. In those moments of mocking, of terror, whatever it may be, you faced, that he faces it with you. And not only that, but he faces it for you. He faces it for you so that what you suffered may be healed. That the last word is not the mocking, but the last word is him dying on the cross for us. That we may be healed and whole no matter what we suffered. But you see, there's more even than that, because in a few moments, he's going to invite us to this table. His bread and this cup are his body and blood, his suffering for us, that we might have life. But see, it's even more than that, you see, because in eating of the bread and the cup, might we hear, as we eat of the bread and the cup, of his voice calling out to us to wear our home clothes, our home baptismal robes, and suffer with them. For others. And with others. What might that look like in your life? What might that look like in his church right now? If you'll ask, he'll tell you. And he'll give you all the power, all the love, all the compassion, all that he brings to bear, speaking now of the one who with the Father and the Spirit created the world to suffer.